The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 1 Podcast.
And welcome to Thursday. We appreciate all of you being here for a number of hours. We thank you so much. The news remains Jalen Carter. Yesterday we told you he was heading back, facing two misdemeanor charges in Athens. He was booked late last night and then immediately went back to Indianapolis, where he rejoined the combine. But that story rages throughout college football and professional football, especially in the world of the NFL. At this hour, we still don't know much more than we did yesterday. Very little else has come out in relation to Jalen Carter. There are those who are mildly optimistic in spite of the tragedy that perhaps the worst for him could be over. It is still ultimately going to be up to the authorities in Georgia and, as far as the NFL, the people with whom he meets with in Indianapolis and subsequent to that before the NFL draft in about 7 weeks. Meanwhile, it was a busy day on the hardwoods. Alabama down by 17 at home. Looks like the chances of wrapping up the title were gone. Bruce Pearl's team's fighting to get into the tournament. And then it all went south for the Auburn Tigers. Bama came back twice, took the game into overtime, and ultimately won by 5. Were you sleeping on the Cats last night? We were moving from them being on the bubble or out of the tournament to maybe making a run, and then Vanderbilt knocks them off on senior night on a brilliantly designed final play of the game. Jim Phillips, your favorite commissioner.
Oh boy.
He is in support of a couple of things, including rule changes to shorten the games.
Good for him.
I don't blame him. Games are too long. This is where we begin our conversation on this Thursday afternoon with Heather Dennis of ESPN. Heather, many thanks. Appreciate it. A lot to talk about. Let's start with Jim Phillips. And where are we in relation to making these monstrously long games maybe a little bit shorter?
Well, they're talking this week in Indianapolis, they being the Rules Committee and the Competition Committee, about three what they describe as minor rule changes to shorten the games, an average of 7 to 8 minutes and 7 to 8 plays per game. They would continue to run the clock after first downs. They would take away teams' abilities to call consecutive timeouts. I think we've all seen where a defense will use 3 straight timeouts and a kicker repeatedly kicks a 40-yard field goal and makes it anyway, and we all lose 5 minutes of our life. And then the other one would be not an accepted penalty on an untimed down. So that would be at the end of the first quarter or the third quarter. They wouldn't extend the quarter. Instead, they would just walk it off and start it at the end of the next quarter. So all of those things are done with the intention of not only shortening the game, but as Jim Phillips told me yesterday, taking away some of the impact plays that players are involved in. Because, Paul, as you know, this is the last year of a 4-team college football playoff. In 2024, when it expands to 12 teams, that means that there is the potential, unlikely, but there is the potential a team can play 17 games. So while 7 to 8 minutes, 7 to 8 plays right now might not seem like a lot, you add that on and continue to do the math, and it does add up. So tomorrow I would expect a press release out of the NCAA as to whether they do officially recommend them. If they're going to be implemented for the 2023 season, it would be approved in April.
Heather Dennis joining us on many topics. Heather, it came out yesterday about changes on the CFP committee. I realize a lot of fans only want to know where their team is, but for someone who covers this on a full-time basis, talk a little bit about what happened, what it means, if anything, and where we go from here.
The CFP announced this week that there are three new committee members. It's still a 13-member committee, but they all serve three-year terms. Boo Corrigan, the NC State Athletic Director, will again be the chair, so he will be the voice of the group with Reese Davis on Tuesday nights. They've added Miami of Ohio Athletic Director David Saylor, Jennifer Cohen, Washington's Athletic Director. And, you know, the other thing, too, is that, well, they've also added Nevada, former Nevada coach Chris Ault, a Hall of Famer. Two women are now on the selection committee, Paul, and I do think that that's important because of these 13 people who have been at the table, this is the first time that there will be two women who are contributing to the conversation. I think that's interesting. I do think it's important, but it's also got a very administrative feel to it. There are seven sitting athletic directors on there. There are certainly people who have playing experience, Hall of Fame coaches, former Hall of Fame players. So it's not lacking football experience. It just has a very administrative feel to it this year.
I mean, you mentioned Ault. Who else is, who from the coaching world remains on this committee?
Jim Grobe is on there, former Wake Forest coach. Joe Taylor, Hall of Fame coach. He was at Hampton, I want to say Virginia Union. Will Shields is on there. So there are certainly people who have extensive Hall of Fame resumes. And, you know, a lot of these athletic directors do have playing experience, but they have certain categories in terms of committee members, former players and coaches, administrative figures. One reporter has always been on there, and that is Kelly Whiteside, the other female that I was talking about, in addition to Washington's athletic director, former national college football reporter for USA Today. So the whole point of that is to avoid groupthink, right? But I just, as somebody who walked into that room the very first year of the college football playoff, the very first ranking, and saw Tom Osborne, Condoleezza Rice, Barry Alvarez. That first year was a wow factor that set the bar high, and just in terms of star power, has been hard to match.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how. I mean, do you know how they come up with this? Do people really want to be on this committee after they retire, or is it just a matter of the luck of the draw?
Well, the 10 FBS commissioners and Notre Dame athletic director Jack Swarbrick are tasked with choosing these committee members. It's an interesting process. I can't tell you how many people they go through who say, I don't want any part of this, and how many people are beating down their door. I don't know the dynamic there, but I do know that they do try to diversify it. And for a lot of people, it is a bucket list thing, but you do have to be not retired from business, but you can't be an active member of the media in order to do it.
No, I guess that rules me out since I'm barely active. Heather, let me talk about a couple of other things before you go. I know you've interviewed, this is a good time of the year to grab coaches. You talked to Pittman and Mark Stoops. Let's start with Mark Stoops at Kentucky. New quarterback in, not a new quarterback, transfer quarterback. What's it look like for UK trying to bounce back this year?
Yeah, Mark Stoops was very excited about his quarterback room with the addition of Devin Leary, and he played phenomenal in 2021 at NC State. Last year was cut short by a pectoral injury, but Stoops told me that Leary is almost full go. They're going to monitor his throws this spring, just make sure that he's not obviously overexerting himself and doing too much. But he will be practicing with Wildcats, and just in general, he's excited about this group, knows that they have some work to do, but definitely had a positive attitude in terms of that quarterback situation, and that should help them. But we also talked about Will Levis, and I know there are so many questions surrounding him and what he's going to be like, and Stoops was very confident that Levis is going to be a franchise NFL quarterback, has the capability of doing that. I mean, he was sacked, I want to say, 36 times last year, and Stoops said we didn't put him in a very good position. And he said that he was throwing to young wide receivers, and obviously the offensive line had some issues. And that was another thing that Stoops and I talked about, was his offensive line. And just this year, him being able to move some of those guys back around to their natural positions, he thinks will help tremendously.
And finally, Heather, what did you learn from Sam Pittman, who had a very disappointing year with high expectations?
He did, but we had a very candid conversation about that. And he talked about not only the improvement he expects to see from KJ Jefferson, he said he thinks he's going to be throwing more on the run. They can do more with their passing game. He expects growth from his quarterback this year. But also in terms of the chemistry there, he's just talked about sort of rebuilding that team, essentially, with some players not wanting to be there leaving and bringing players in through the transfer portal, and just being very honest about how the secondary wasn't very good and they need to be better, and bringing in a new offensive coordinator, and how he thinks he's going to be able to work with KJ Jefferson. So he is encouraged. And when you look at those games that they lost last year, he said those were some close games that we were able to win earlier. And it's just a matter of, he thinks, that chemistry and getting better on defense, which he thinks they'll be able to do.
It may only be the second day of March, but it feels like football season is nearer with Heather joining us to start the show. Thank you so much, Heather. Great to see you. We will talk soon, I hope. And let's go over who else will be joining us today in addition to Heather Dinich, Dan Murphy joining us, Pat Forte a little bit later on, and Ari Wasserman. He did something that few would want to do. He sat down with Urban Meyer for an interview. And your phone calls right around the corner at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Welcome back. As we continue, we'll get to your phone calls at 855-242-7285 on a Thursday afternoon. We begin in Tennessee. Peggy is first up. Hey, Peggy.
Oh, my goodness. I'm just really trying to catch my breath. I'm smiling.
Well, thank you.
Trying to figure out that call about the guy had the theory about how this, that wasn't really Pruitt's fault. Somehow or another, he was taking the fall for Fulmer.
Right.
You know what Paul thought about that? He said he had Pruitt, you know. I don't know. I'm bewildered. I really, I can't, it's kind of left me speechless, actually.
Yeah, Peggy, I'll just offer you an opinion. I don't think he has proof. I think that is a supposition or a rumor that he picked up at a bar on a lonely Monday night. Thanks for the call. Do appreciate it. Will is in North Carolina. You're on the air. Hello, Will.
Well, I've been trying to avoid this topic, but I want to add my 2 cents worth on the Nate Oates, Brandon Miller. I've been hoping that somebody else would ask you this question, but they ain't. If Nate Oates a month ago would have done what he should have done and suspended Brandon and waited for this bond hearing and everything to clear up and try to bring him back, do you think he could have brung him back?
Yeah, I think Nate Oates could have suspended him the first week just to make sure that they had all the information and then brought him back. And I don't think anything would have been made out of it. The fact that it looked like a cover-up or something else, I'm saying looked like, is really what I think has brought the hammer down on Nate Oates, and the criticism is endless.
Yeah, I mean,
there was even an article today by Dan Wetzel in Yahoo calling out the president at the University of Alabama for his lack of action. I mean, it's a big story nationally. And I realize we have talked about it here for a week and a half, and people are tired of it. But it's not; it's still out there, though.
I didn't want to bring it up. My gut feeling is the brain trust probably thought that they couldn't ever got him back if they suspended him or something. That's
well,
how I feel.
It's the new era where the athlete has been empowered. And, yeah, again, I think blame goes, Nate Oates does not make that decision. He's not the arbiter of that. That's ultimately the athletic director and the president of the university who make that call. And it's pretty obvious that they were concerned. They didn't want to upset Brandon Miller, and they also did not want to impugn him if he had not done anything wrong. And it's pretty obvious they don't think he did anything wrong. Let's check out Paul in Selma, Alabama. Hello, Paul.
Hey, Mr. Feinbaum. Something that you don't get very often is a phone call that's short, sweet, and to the point.
Well, thank you.
I want to say if they're going to shorten the football games, they need to lower the prices of the tickets. Because I'm an avid football fan as well as an avid basketball fan, but primarily football. And I wish they would make them longer, to be honest with you, because I can sit and watch a football game. I don't care who it is. I can watch it all day long, especially though Alabama, Auburn, and those. But again, I don't want them to shorten the football games. I would like to see them made longer.
I mean, Paul, they act like they're shortening the games to improve player health, which I'm not sure I really believe. I think it's a gimmick. I don't think that 8 minutes is going to change anything. What bothers me, and I hate to get off on officiating, but I just feel like the officials in any sport, right now we're in the basketball season, you just can't take that long. You have to make a decision, take a quick look at it, try to be sure, and then move on. I mean, this over and over again, these officials looking at the same thing and then the wasted time that they have to talk to the coaches, talk to everyone else. To me is the biggest problem in all sports, let alone football.
I hate to see them messing with the time, and I just
Well, I hear you. No, I understand. I mean, that's a very purist approach. Thanks for the call. Do appreciate it. And you were in and out quickly. Michael is in Birmingham. Michael, go right ahead. I heard the end of that call. Rick is in Houston. Rick, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Paul. How are you today?
We are doing well. Thank you. Appreciate the call.
Paul, I wanted to talk to you about the looks like the real possibility of Pistol Pete's record getting broken tonight by the young man Antoine Davis from Detroit Mercy.
Right.
What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I really, I must confess, I haven't thought about it. I mean, I'm aware of it, but to me, what Pistol Pete did will never be done away with, even if this guy breaks the record. And I don't know enough about his league, but I dare say the competition that he's facing every night is far inferior to what Pete Maravich was facing in the SEC.
I'd agree totally on that. I guess, you know, I don't really have a problem. I mean, you know, I always felt like growing up that Roger Maris having an asterisk,
right,
you know, for a good bit next to his record was kind of a slight. You know, this young man, however, though, is playing, you know, he's in his fifth year playing basketball because of the COVID year, plus playing with the three-point line. It's just
hard. I'm glad you mentioned that. I've seen Pistol play with a two-point line, and by the way, I mean, records – I mean, you could do a whole show on what are the greatest records. I don't remember Maris's attack on Ruth, although I've read books about it. I do remember Bonds and Sosa.
Right.
And I think the Maris...
Yeah, you and I are close to the same age, yeah. I read books about it.
But I think based on what I've read, the Maris, that was one of the greatest stories ever because it really wasn't on TV, and you had to listen to the radio or read about it. And
right.
I mean, there are to me, this record, I don't know this guy up there, and I really don't. I'm not trying to act like I care because I really don't.
Right.
It's a meaningless record. What records really matter? I think is the question that you have to ask. I think the home run record was a big deal. Obviously, I thought Hank Aaron's deal was. I remember every minute of that because it was so interesting to follow. But most of these records, I mean, like the other night with LeBron and Wilt Chamberlain, okay, nice, not Wilt Chamberlain, but Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, nice moment, but didn't mean anything. I mean, just think about this, and we can talk about it throughout the afternoon, but... I mean, what records matter? I covered it, so it mattered to me. I don't know how much it mattered to the nation, but when Bear Bryant was trying to catch Amos Alonzo Stagg's record, and he eventually broke it in 1981 against Auburn, that was a big deal. You know, having a three-peat's a big deal in college football because but to me, we talked about the home run record, both Hank Aaron and Roger Maris. I mean, the Sosa, Bonds, none of that mattered a whole lot to me because we all know they were not playing on a level playing field. But this record is, I didn't mean to go off on it. Yeah, I mean, Ripken was a big deal. Pete Rose, remember when he played in consecutive games or was it consecutive hits during the mid to late 70s? I remember that very well. But this record is meaningless, absolutely meaningless to me. We'll take a break. More to come. More of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Call Feinbaum now, 855-242-7285. That's 855-242-PAUL. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show.
Hey, welcome back. Glad you're with us here Thursday afternoon. Bill is up next in Alabama. Hello, Bill.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
Very well. Thank you.
Hey, I had a question. I was talking to your producer about it. Joe Goodman with AL.com. I know he got ignored last night. But what was the backstory on the Harsin deal? It seems like you shed some light on his character or how he reported or how he may have felt a little dirty on that.
Yeah, I felt like he had gone overboard, something that I know he objected to. But basically what you're talking about in reference to last night is that he said he was at the Nate Oates press conference, and he had his hand up and never got called on. You know, I will say that, you know, he said he followed the proper protocol. Have you ever watched a White House press conference? I mean, I'm not giving anybody, I mean, he's a very accomplished journalist. He doesn't need my advice, but just ask the question. Maybe there's a reason they didn't call on him. I don't know, but if you feel very strongly about something, ask it. Just blurt it out.
Yeah, if Peter Ducey didn't speak up, I don't think Fox would ever get a question.
I don't think that's going to – I mean, first of all, nobody likes the media anyway. Let me say that. But are we supposed to give him a Nobel Prize because he followed the protocol by saying I've got my – he had his hand up and never got called on by the teacher?
I've got to read this.
Hold on. I'm glad you mentioned that because I saw this earlier. Again, this is in the AL.com. Joseph Goodman, who is one of their writers, and he's the lead sports columnist for AL.com.
He's a Paul wannabe.
By the way, I once worked for that organization.
I know you did.
Okay, let me read this again. He said, this is Goodman now. I attempted to ask Alabama coach Nate Oates a question after the game, but was ignored by Alabama public relations official. So were other reporters. Ignoring questions will not make this go away. Joe, I don't want to tell you how to do your job. Seems like you're doing great. You're the lead sports columnist at AL.com. But if you got something to there's a way to ask a question. I always learned if they didn't answer my question at a press conference, follow him out. Like Peter Ducey.
Well, nobody.
Just say, hey, coach, I got a question. I mean, ask your question. Is it that hard?
I don't think people.
You worked in the media saying, for what? If I'm one of your reporters from back when you ran the public radio, public TV, I said, and you asked me, so well, did you get the story? I didn't get it because I had my hand up, and they never called on me. What would you do? I mean, hey, Bill, I had an editor, my first editor at the newspaper. If I had walked back to him and say I didn't get the story, he would literally have picked me up, and he was a big guy, and thrown me through a window.
Was that Don Kaufer?
No, well, Don was Don was the sports editor, but Don would have done the same thing. I
Bill
once came back. I'm talking about the executive editor. I once came back from a story in Huntsville, Alabama. I'd been up there for a week, and I came back, and I said, he said, what do you got? I mean, he was like one of these burly guys. I said, I don't have it. And I can't use the language. He said, you get your blanking back there and don't come back until you get the story.
I think you won a prize for that.
I did. I know what you're talking about. And I came back with the story. Don't ask me how I got the story, okay? But, I mean, I am not going to feel sorry for somebody who had his hand up.
I was just wondering because it was interesting. Nobody wakes up and goes, I wonder what Joe's going to say, like we used to say about you.
Well, listen, comparing anybody to me is ridiculous. I didn't mean it that way.
Well, that's the way we take it.
Okay, well, Bill, thank you. No, I mean, listen, I don't know the guy very well. We've had him on the show before. Yeah. Maybe we should have him back and ask him how long he had his hand up, and can you hurt your hand if you have it up too long?
Lose circulation.
Yeah. I mean, I have never heard that.
Just ask the question.
Yeah, I mean, ask it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think it's that hard to get a question in at a basketball post-game press conference. No. Coach, I'm over here, Coach.
Hello.
Sit in the front row and stand up and say, I've got a question.
Lay it on.
Man.
Mm.
There goes his Pulitzer Prize.
Yep.
Mark is up next in Birmingham. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Paul.
Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Hey, Paul, I want to talk about Nate Oates. I'm asking this question because I'm wondering, is he selling out to show the recruits that he got his back, their back, or is he losing control? Because you know a lot of the situation that happened, his words are he can't control it. He can't control the players. And as like last night, they had a little scuffle last night, and players cleared the bench and an assistant coach.
Right.
And I'm wondering, is he selling out to I got your back recruiting, or is he more of I don't have control? Because those are his words on a lot of the situations that's been going on.
Well, Mark,
you
raise a good point there, because you're always in today's world, and I mean that for every sport, because of all the things that are going on with NIL and external and internal pressures, you're always walking a fine line. If you come down too hard, it may hurt you in the end. You have to have some discipline in your program, though.
Right. I got one more thing, Paul.
Okay.
I was following the situation when you had Carol Robinson on.
Yes.
And about the text messages. Carol reported that not only did he see the text messages, he responded to those text messages.
Yeah.
She reported that, you know, he said that the gun is in the back in the hat and it's one in the head. Where's the notion coming from that he might not have seen the text message, or did he know it?
It was reported that he's seen them and responded.
Well, Mark, I think I know what you're talking about, and I think that he, and I'm trying to remember where I heard this because I haven't seen it, but apparently he did respond earlier to a message saying I think he was finishing up eating. The confusion is that his lawyer, I believe, responded to that saying that he was or Greg Byrne, I'm not sure which one, said that he was already on his way back there. But you would know if you responded to a text message. That's the forensics on a phone are very easy to trace. Hey, we're up against a break. My hand is up saying we need a break. Teacher, please, I need to go down the hallway, so please call on me. We are back after this with much more.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Welcome back. Great to have you here and more of your phone calls right now as we continue. And Jason is up next in Los Angeles. Hello, Jason.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
We're doing well. Thank you.
I had a couple of questions I wanted to raise again.
Sure.
One for more information, one more of an observation. First is that mental health awareness, given that it's such a high right now all over the country, with regard to the combine, what level, if any, of mental health aptitude, mental health test is being done with all of these athletes in the middle of the combine? Is there any? And then I have a second question after this.
Well, I know that there are certain do they still do the Wonderlic test? I mean, that's one level. I don't know specifically how they handle that aspect of it, but I do know that when players meet with individual teams, it is a fairly grueling conversation.
It just seems like in this day and age, maybe something even more formal or more independent of the individual team. There's more of a across the board process to it, just given some of these issues. And I guess, which brings me to my next observation, I guess, in the NIL era that we're in now, it's no surprise that, you know, Jalen Carter is represented, and maybe just a coincidence, by Drew Rosenhaus, who has the long sheet of athletes who have gotten into trouble in their NFL era. Now that we are in the NIL era, we're now seeing this as with an athlete who has been represented prior to their entry into the draft. I didn't know what you thought about Drew Rosenhaus.
Listen, he has some very good clients too, but he is not your traditional agent. So he's going to attract a specific type of personality that's willing to take a few more chances than maybe your prototypical Jimmy Sexton type, or back in the day, Lee Steinberg, who once had some of the top players. Hey, thank you very, very much. Steve in Birmingham, you're on the air. Hello, Steve.
Hey, Paul, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I called you about 5 or 6 years ago. I just got one point, and I'll hang up. You mentioned a minute ago that Coach Oates and the Alabama administration didn't think Ed Brandon was guilty of anything. If that's the case, then why's the first call they made to Ray Lewis? I'll hang up.
Yeah, it's a good question. By the way, it's one thing to call Ray Lewis. It's a completely other thing to admit it. I can't speak for Nate Oates, but I'm going to give it a shot. I think Nate Oates was trying to portray that Ray Lewis was falsely accused of murder. Therefore, I called him to try to get a better understanding of what somebody goes through and how they deal with a false accusation. 20 years later, we're still talking about Ray Lewis. So I think the proof is in the pudding that there are still a lot of non-believers in his case. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. David is in Alabama. You're on the air. Hello, David.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing today?
David, we are doing well. Thank you for calling.
Great. Thanks for taking my call. I want to make a comment and ask a couple of questions. I love the rule changes for football. I think they'll work great. The two questions I've got for you: has Coach Stallings ever been asked or offered to serve on the playoff committee? If not, that's a shame. And the second question, if Bama plays up to their potential and they win the SEC tournament, can they get the number one overall seed in the tournament? I'll hang up, Matt, and listen.
Yeah, David, I don't think Coach Stallings has ever been asked, and that is too bad. He lives right there in Texas, so he could be there and 30 minutes from his ranch in Paris. I don't know. I mean, I think Gene Stallings is probably he might be too opinionated to sit on that committee. I think he is. As far as what was the second part of the question? Alabama and the number one seed. I don't think Alabama has to win the SEC tournament to win the number one seed. I think if they're able to win Saturday on the road, and win a game or two in the SEC, I think they've got a realistic chance of being the number one seed. Right now, they project to be. Things can change in the next week. I think right now Houston would be their biggest competition. It's not critical to be the number one seed. They will be a number one seed, and then they will almost absolutely play their first two games 55 miles away in Birmingham. So they're going to have a tremendous advantage. The number one seed matters a little bit. You play the worst team, but the second number one is almost equal to the first number one in terms of what you end up seeing. Thanks for the call. Rick is in Florida. You're on the air. Hello, Rick.
Yes, I was just wondering if anybody else has brought this up or thought about it, but how does a college student, Jalen Carter, afford a $150,000 Jeep Trackhawk capable of 180 mile an hour while you're in college? I don't know his background. I don't know what his family's like, but that seems like an awful expensive car for
it does.
A regular old college student to be riding around in.
Well, Rick, I don't know the answer, but I'll give you a guess. It's entirely possible he's got an NIL deal with a car dealership. And I know Brandon Miller does, so that's how you get it. You know, again, I'm not trying to be a professor here, but you have to think it's 2023. And by the way, even 4 years ago, it wouldn't have surprised me if he was in that car. I've been to plenty of parking lots on college campuses before NIL came along, and everybody in that parking lot had a better car than I did.
Right. Yeah, I forgot about the NIL. Yeah. But like I say, yeah, that's a.
That's all I'm saying, Rick. I'm not trying to give a tutorial on 2023, but you have to adapt your thought process on athletes nowadays because they. It's hard to catch up because we're still trying to live in a world that we grew up in. But these guys, and by the way, you can also borrow money. And it's I'm not making excuses for Jalen Carter, but he also could have knowing that. He had the car on January 15th, so his last game would have been a week ahead of time. But I would say the NIL would be the best answer for that. We have 1 hour down. Love to hear from you at 855-242-7283. Dan Murphy joining us in the next hour to talk about some NIL issues. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.